Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Thanksgiving Eve, 3:05 on the dot. My guest right now is Julie McFadden. She is a hospice nurse. Is it Julie or Julia?
It's Julie. Okay. You got it right.
Okay. I have it written both ways. Julie, the only experience I have from this is my dad passed away in 2002 in a nursing home, and one of the local churches provided a couple of hospice people, and it was absolutely game-changing, life-changing. It was wonderful. It was so helpful. It was helpful practically, and you know all about this, when you know a loved one is going to pass on in the next few days, and you just really want updates and what should we look for, physical things like that. And then just spiritually, it was wonderful. So before we even start talking, thank you for what you and your colleagues do.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad you had a good experience during a hard time.
Yeah,
it's not always like that. So I'm glad it was.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me your story. Tell me all about you and what it is you do, and then we'll just jump in with questions.
Oh my gosh, that's great. Yeah. So I'm Julie. I'm a hospice nurse. So I've been a nurse for 14 years, but a hospice nurse for about 5. And I love it. And I'm very passionate about educating about death and dying, just because there's so many amazing things that our body does that I feel like most people don't know. So I started out going on TikTok and making these videos about 6 months ago, and then it kind of blew up. And here I am, and it's way bigger than I thought I ever would be, but I'm glad people are interested and willing to learn and listen. It's been great.
Yeah, I mean, it's the one thing we all share. It's one thing that all of us are afraid of to some degree, you know, greater or lesser.
Yep.
And I think it's one of those things that the more information you can get, the better it is, because we're all going to face it. And it is almost literally unimaginable when you really think about yourself.
Yes.
Just kind of share some of the things, and you're not going to offend anyone here, I promise you. We can talk about physical things. We can talk about, you know, just, and I know every single person is different, but give us kind of a roadmap of like the last few days of life for most people.
Great question. So there really is a roadmap. I think that's what's kind of relieving to a lot of people to hear that, because, of course, everyone is different. I do always specify that. But in general, the last few days of life, if you're dying what we would call a natural death on hospice, maybe from some disease, but in general, we're not doing any intervention. So it's considered a natural death. People do the same things, and you see the same things, and that is you sleep a lot, you don't eat or drink a lot, which is okay because your body basically is, I always say it's like the body's cocooning and taking care of itself. So it shuts down mechanisms that say, hey, you're hungry, hey, you're thirsty. So that's not happening. Your body is truly allowing you to not eat and drink. You're sleeping a lot. You'll see changes in breathing. So a lot of people see their loved one breathing differently, and they think something must be wrong. But actually, that's very normal. And as long as they look comfortable, meaning like a resting baby almost, mm-hmm. then we know they're good. So changes in breathing, changes in skin color, also super normal, not painful, not uncomfortable. And the last thing that most people hear and don't like is something we call terminal secretions, and everyone else calls it the death rattle.
Yeah,
which I hate that name, but
yeah,
it's coined that name. And I love educating about that because most people hear it and they really don't like it and they always think it's something bad. But really, all it is we're making saliva all day in our mouth and our body is telling us to swallow it. And it does automatically. At the end of someone's life, first off, the brain's not really telling you to swallow unconsciously. So either you can't swallow or your brain's just not telling you to, which again, very normal. And it's saliva collecting in your mouth, even just a little tiny bit, can make each breath sound wet.
Wow.
So people think it's
fascinating.
Well, people think, because it sounds kind of gurgly. Mm-hmm. So they think they're drowning or it just sounds really bad. But really, it's a super normal part of life. It's not really bothering the person. How do we know? Because their face looks relaxed. Their body is relaxed. And so it's more about the family thinking something's wrong. So I love educating about how that's so normal and nothing is wrong.
So
and really, it's just a natural process.
So, Julie, and again, 7 billion human souls on the earth, we're all going to go out differently. In general, though, do you find that at the very end, when people are sentient and conscious, that they are very frightened, or do most people find peace by the end?
I would say most people find peace at the end. And that's not, I almost like hate making it that simple because it sounds like I'm doing that purposely to comfort people. But really, that has been my experience. I think what you said in the beginning is very normal. All of us are at least some degree afraid, right? Because death is the unknown. And we don't want to leave our loved ones,
yeah.
Right? Like their
yeah.
sadness, their fear. So that's all super normal. That's where everyone starts for the most part. And I actually love having conversations about that with people because I think people are almost afraid to say they're afraid when they're actually truly getting to that place where they know they're going to die, right? They're on hospice. This is basically inevitable. But once they do say they're afraid, I feel like that's the starting point, the acceptance of the fear and the sadness, and it's uncomfortable. And, you know, like that's what I love to do. I love to try to meet people where they're at and try to have conversations about the sadness and the fear. And usually by the end, I would say almost everybody by the end looks very peaceful. And even when they are awake and not quite unconscious yet, they don't say they're afraid. If anything, it feels sacred and special.
So, Julie, I'm quite sure you know much more about this than I do, but I'm fascinated by this topic and by like near-death experiences. And from what I understand, we keep learning that when we say death, it's not really a moment, that it can take minutes and then even hours for everything to really, really shut down. So while there's a moment that our loved one, the heart stops and there's no brain, well, I can't even say that because there is a big influx of brain activity right after death, correct?
Truth. I don't know. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I just saw a special, which they could be wrong too, but they were describing it that right after death, there's just a big dump of whatever, serotonin or what have you, and that your brain, like from MRIs, they can see it, that your brain just goes like 100 times normal for a few seconds to a couple of minutes right after the actual moment of death, which I find fascinating.
Wow, I find that fascinating too. And I honestly, I mean, I knew our brain was doing that like, maybe in what I call the actively dying phase, which is a few hours to a few days. I feel like I knew the brain was doing that, but I did not know that that happened actually after the heart stopped.
And I could be completely wrong.
So since we're talking about a burst of activity like that in the brain, I was reading, Julie, that you go into this burst of activity that most patients experience called the rally. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's the one that, there's a few things that people love hearing about, and that is one of them. So, yeah, there's a thing called the surge or the rally, which can happen in about one-third of all of our patients where they're getting close to almost the actively dying phase, which means you think they are going to be dying very soon. They're not doing well. And then suddenly they have this burst of energy or a really good day or a really good couple days. And it varies. Some people really have good days. They're up, they're walking, they're talking, their personality comes back. And then it can vary, right? Some people, it's not as extreme. But it usually only lasts for a few hours to a couple days, and then they'll die shortly after. Hmm. So either that night or the next day. It usually won't. Sometimes people will give me examples of rallies lasting for weeks. That's probably not the rally. This is like specific to a burst where it's a few hours to a few days and then they die.
I'm most interested in the spirituality of it. And I saw in the article that you gave to the New York Post, you were talking about like what people said at the end, I love you, or they call out to their mom and dad. As far as you can tell, or what have you experienced, are they kind of going back and forth between two worlds, so to speak? Or is it just that last moment when they're gone that they're seeing this? Or what can you tell us about the spirituality of it all?
So, I could talk about this forever. Because, yes, obviously it can feel spiritual. But there is truly a thing that happens that's like, maybe not medically proven because we can't prove it, but it happens so much that we put it in educational books. Like it's a thing that every healthcare worker who works at end of life would know, that at the end, people start seeing dead relatives. They start seeing pets that have died, angels, spirits, usually always good and usually always comforting. So I see a lot of that. That's another video that I always talk about because it happens so much. And yes, it is obviously spiritual. It sounds very spiritual, but it really is a sign of death and dying. It happens so often that like we tell families, hey, if this starts happening, don't be afraid. You know, it's okay. As long as, especially if your loved one is feeling comfortable with it. But also, you know, and that can happen up to a month before someone dies. It's not necessarily like at the last breath. But when it's close to the their last breath, I do see a lot of people, of course, telling their loved ones they love them, smiling, staring off and kind of reaching up and smiling, saying hi, mom, or hi, so-and-so, and so-and-so's their dead husband. Many, countless times this has happened. And it's not just me. This is I'm one hospice nurse.
Yeah,
if you talk to any hospice nurse, they would say this to you.
Yeah, I was reading that 90% of patients and, you know, hospice nurses taking care of those patients report some sort of encounter like that.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? 90%.
Yeah.
I just want the answer. If they're really seeing them.
Yeah, or is it your brain comforting?
I know. I mean, I could argue both
That's
ways.
Exactly. That's how I start the video. I say, this is one phenomenon because it's a phenomenon. We don't know.
Julie,
always keep it. Sorry, go ahead.
Not to get all paranormal and woo-woo, but we're talking about people dying. Have you or any of your colleagues who you trust ever seen anything that was truly kind of paranormal? Because anytime we'll do a call-in or something like this, people will say, I saw my mom's spirit come out. I saw this. We experienced that. Anything that you were really like chills and like, boy, I can't explain that one.
Not me personally. I wish. I love all that stuff. But no, I mean, I have not ever seen anything, but I have tons of, first off, just from my social media and people will write in. So, I mean, I have hundreds and hundreds of people who write in who say they have, but I personally have not. I kind of wish, because I think it's great and cool, but yeah. No.
Has your spirituality, whatever it is, if you're comfortable saying, swayed either way after this experience?
Well, I've always believed, you know, in an afterlife and a generality of a higher power, right? Not really religious, but just a general thing of there's something more after this. So I've always thought that. But being a hospice nurse has definitely like solidified that. Like I do not fear. I want to live a long, happy life, but I do not fear death. I really, like, I kind of can't wait to see people who are going to be greeting me. And yeah, so I mean, it's definitely helped me have some dampen my fear, right, and have some faith.
Well, Julie, you obviously have a big following, getting bigger all the time. If people from our audience would like to read more about this and learn more about you, how do they do that?
I am on TikTok, and which is so funny. I can't believe I'm on TikTok, but I love it. I'm on TikTok at Hospice Nurse Julie, and then I'm also on Instagram at Hospice Nurse Julie. And yeah, it's just been really fun, really great. It's been,
Well, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us, and we'd love to have you back sometime. Really, really interesting, and I think very comforting for a lot of people. Thanks, Julie.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
Welcome back, guys. 324 in the dot. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. When we come back from the bottom of the hour break, Mike Claiborne will join us. We have a lot to talk about, including almost $1 billion coming our way from Stan Kroenke and the NFL. Rach, headlines?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Join the Schnucks Wine Club and save 15% off every bottle of wine every day at Schnucks. And big shout out to Schnucks. Trish and I went there earlier today, the one downtown, and got our COVID boosters, and Trish got her flu shot. It was really easy experience. I almost said fun. I wouldn't call it fun.
No, we held each other's hand.
But it was an
you
easy
really
experience.
Did?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I thought you guys were kidding.
Well, she got hers first.
I was like, hold my hand.
And then I was holding hers harder than she was holding mine while she was getting her shot. And then I haven't held anyone's hand for like, since I was a kid. So I was like, I'll hold your hand too when I get mine. And it would help.
It was nice.
We were seriously holding hands.
No, I believe it now. I thought Rachel was making a joke.
No.
Dave and I were holding hands while we ordered KFC.
While we were getting our shot,
hold
too.
Hold my hand now.
All right. Tonight is supposedly the best night to travel for Thanksgiving.
Really?
One of the best windows to do
doesn't
show.
Make any
if
sense.
You take off no. after 9 o'clock on oh. Wednesday and before 11 a.m. on Thursday, that's going to be the least amount of traffic
you know,
in the
there's
next 24 hours.
Really not that many, if there's any, flights going out of Lambert past like 9 o'clock.
Really?
And, oh, my gosh. If you try, there's like nothing. It's like
that's
a ghost
weird.
Town. There might be one or two, but
you know,
that's it.
That's something I hadn't even thought about. And I don't understand the airport, the city, the county. I don't understand. But our airport blows.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be great.
When we had TWA.
Yep. When I graduated from law school in 1990, I took TWA straight from here to Paris.
It was hopping.
A few hundred bucks. It was great. What happened? Just TWA left and we
yeah.
got Southwest?
I guess. I mean, well, and this isn't Southwest Hub either. This was TWA's hub. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they have to do to get another one to maybe locate here or if they even would. It seems to me that it would be a really good central location. I mean, you already have Chicago, but that one's packed mm-hmm. all the time. Why wouldn't somebody move here?
Yeah,
why
who
wouldn't
cares
we
if
try
you have a layover,
to?
Right. You know, not going to leave the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Is TWA still around? They're gone, right?
No, they're yeah. done. Okay.
Man, you hate to hear about all these ransomware attacks. Now one has actually closed Lewis and Clark Community College. It announced on its Facebook page today that all campuses will be closed today because all of their systems are offline. And they
wow.
encourage students, don't try to log in right now. Now
God,
is not
crazy.
The time.
That's
just crazy.
Now, of all the people that you would hit, why would you hit a small community college?
You're
going to
get
town?
People's socials.
Yeah.
Probably maybe they think the security's not as tight.
Lewis and Clark is going to pay him $250,000, I'm sure.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let's see.
Sorry. No, sorry. I kind of had a different thing in mind about what that might be. But no, you're right. That's exactly what it is. It's to get socials and money.
One more story here before we go to break. This job will pay you $2,500 to watch holiday movies and give you free streaming for a year. It's called the Chief Holiday Cheermeister. Watch 25 movies in 25 days.
Why do they do this?
I don't know. They're all doing
I
it.
I know. It's like eat
horror
Snickers.
Movies. Yeah.
Well, this is a really good deal. So you watch the 25 movies in 25 days, you get $2,500, and you get free streaming for a year to Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime Video, HBO Max, Apple TV Plus, and Hallmark
wow.
Movies Now.
I do that every 25 days.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's
I already
really
have
good
that
deal,
job.
But yeah.
Well, I thought this was good, too. Hulu's, even if you don't do that, which that is a great deal, their Black Friday deal is 99 cents a month for a year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Their Black Friday deal. Yeah, that's great.
Something popped up on something last night and said something like that that mm-hmm. interested me, and I just made myself not do it because I don't trust anyone. Because it said, like, 99 cents. I'm like, yeah.
There's a catch.
Of course.
I mean, there's always some kind of a catch that's like, $0.99 plus like a $20 processing. I've even got by something like that a million times.
Yeah. But back, guys, DGS 333. Make sure you tune in this Friday for the Mike Claiborne show. His co-host, Bob Ramsey, is going to be here. Mike, did I hear that Amy Marksgore is going to join you guys as well?
She's more than welcome to.
Oh, she was lying. She lies a lot.
You just made that.
You know what?
No, she told me that today.
Go to her house and, we may go to her house and do a show. We just might show up at her place.
That sounded so ominous. Coming from you, that sounds ominous. Having you shown up at my house before, I know how weird that gets. So Mike,
as Gomer Pyle used to say, surprise, surprise, surprise.
So, Mike, $790 million, that's what's being reported. What do you know about it, and what do you think about it?
Well, I think it's probably the most realistic deal. You know, I think one of the gross miscarriages of what this whole thing took place was you had media and lawyers who had no idea actually what was going on, throwing out the term billion and throwing out, we're going to get a team out of this. I don't think that any of that stuff was ever on the table. I think the bigger concern is how is this money going to be allocated? You know, who's in charge of signing the check to say, you get this, you get this, and you get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, $790 million, I'm not sure where else we were going to get that from in the foreseeable future. And Dave, you've been a lawyer. You know that there's no certainty. There's no guarantee that you're going to win if it goes to court. So I'll take it. And let's see what we can do with it and make the area better.
Yeah, I agree. Do we know, did Kroenke pony this up, or is he getting help from his compadres? Do we know any of that?
No, we haven't heard any of that yet. You know, and the other thing we haven't heard is, will St. Louis go after the owners? Because we don't know whether this is Kroenke's money, or do we know whether it's the league, you know, being part of this as well? Because he was supposed to indemnify everyone. Then he tried to pull a fast one and say, oh, that was just for the legal fees. So I think there's still a lot to be learned about how this whole thing's going to unfold. And I'm anxious to see. But I still like to see an owner or two squirm. And I think now that Kroenke settled, the league would have to do the same thing if it goes to that.
So, Mike, you're a sports guy, but you're a St. Louis guy. What would you like to see done with this money? If they put you in charge, where's the first couple places you'd throw it?
Well, once I return from a trip around the world, I'd have a chance to kind of think about infrastructure. That would be something I would look at. I think we have to take a look at how we deal with security in the area. And I think we have to take care of people who haven't been in a position to take care of themselves. And also create some seed money to attract more things to come to St. Louis. Those would be some things right off the top. You know, $790 million, or they say after taxes and legal fees, maybe it's close to $500 million. That's something you could do a lot with. Mm-hmm. But I'm concerned about who makes that decision on who gets what if it's not you or me.
Yeah.
No matter what
you're going to do with it.
I'm going on the trip with you. Are you kidding me? I'm taking care of your every need.
And you know what? I tell you what, we won't share a room. We'll get our own separate rooms. How about that?
Oh, I'm out.
No matter what happens, you know, people are always going to complain. So, I mean, a large percent of people on Twitter are saying, well, we let them off too easy, that we should have made them go to trial. We should have made them open all their books and let everyone see how dirty they are. Like, somehow 700.
But you know what? I got to tell you, everybody who says that has no clue on how this thing works. I mean, it sounds sexy on the surface. And again, Dave, you know how this works. It never comes to that. And to try and hold these people to the fire, I think it would run up the cost, and there's no guarantee. And the other thing would be, you know, as I said, I don't think people who say that really understand how this thing is shaken up. I think there's been a lot of misinformation that's been circulated. And I don't think it's helped the cause as much, because anybody with a brain would understand that the NFL doesn't, you know, it's cheaper for the NFL to settle compared to be in a market that they're not welcome in, to be in a market where they'd have to help build a stadium. They can cut their losses, move on, and life will still be good for them.
Yeah, Mike, I used to be a mediator, and I can't tell you how many times it became humorous that in the opening salvo, it was, this is about principle, this is about my dad, he was a strong World War II veteran. You're like, it's $1 million. Okay, we'll take it. You know,
we're out, yeah.
And like
we
you said.
We get that by the end of business today, yeah. And so, the area is better off today than they were yesterday. So, and while I know people think that we were going to get a team, I never thought that was going to happen.
Yeah,
because we didn't have an owner, we didn't have a facility, and we didn't have another team, another city that was going to go in with St. Louis. Because, you know, leagues, when they expand, they like to do it in pairs.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if there's another metropolitan area in the United States that can house an NFL team. I think they've kind of milked that cow enough where I don't think if you look around – and some people would say, well, what about Austin? Well, you know, you've got teams in Texas, and I don't think Jerry Jones is going to allow another team to come into his state. And when you look around other places, you know, everybody seems like they're pretty content. Now, if you want to go back to San Diego, that's fine. But, oh, by the way, they don't have a stadium. So I just think that was kind of just wishful thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy, like you said, it's easy, especially when you know you're not going to get any of the money, just to be emotional, mm-hmm. put up a tweet, I can't believe we're being such pansies, we should this, we should that. But I'm telling you, when you see a piece of paper with $790 million on it, that's really hard to say no to. I think they probably did the right thing.
I agree. Like you said, when you see something with that many zeros on it, you take it. There was no guarantee. There was no guarantee that if it went to court, that they would be able to extract that kind of money. Now, you have people for personal reasons who want to see a person squirm.
Yeah.
But after that, then what do you have? You know, they could squirm, and then a jury could find in their favor, and then you have nothing.
And let's say that we went to court and we won $5 billion. You're not going to see 1 cent for 5 years, and I'm not sure the city's got 5 years in them. You know, we need that money now.
I think had it gone to court – and maybe St. Louis wins, the appeal process alone would have taken 3 to 5 years. And, you know, the NFL's got money to spend on appeals, and they can drag this thing out. And that's something I think we all have to take into account. So why don't we just take our victory, let's pop open a bottle of champagne, celebrate that we won, and move on.
That's right. All right, buddy, you have a great Thanksgiving, and I'll be listening on Friday. Thanks so much for filling in, and we'll talk to you real soon.
I'll see you when I see you. And if you don't have anything else to do but listen, then you should come to work.
See you, pal. Appreciate it.
I know that's not going.
Yeah,
no,
that's
not happening. Like, no comment.
Yeah.
Not happening.
Well, yeah, you know, did you hear crickets when I said that? You know, you could hear a pin drop. But listen, you guys have a safe Thanksgiving, and
too,
I look
Mike.
Forward to listening to you guys on Thursday. I mean, on Monday.
All right, pal.
Thanks, Clave.
See you, man.
All right.
346 DGS. I need to find a pill that makes me not like this. I'm just looking down at my show prep on a page that I had something else on, and I look down and I see DC League of Super Pets movie is coming, starring The Rock, Kevin Hart, John Krasinski, Kate McKinnon, and more.
The greatest voice actors on the planet.
My God.
You're out?
Oh! I'm so glad I don't have small kids right now, because I can't stand the big, bloated, to me, cash grab. This is not a good movie. There's no script at all. There's nothing exciting about it. Like Red Notice, have you guys watched any of this? Oh my God. It's just like, hey, look, it's Ryan Reynolds. Hey, look, it's The Rock.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Hey, look, it's Gal Gadot. Let's give us $1 billion. And then you watch and you're like, this is the dumbest piece of crap I've ever seen. Anyway.
I do want to watch it's on Netflix. It's on Netflix today. The Kevin Hart, Wesley Snipes. It's called True Story on Netflix.
Don't know that.
It looks
that
good.
One.
Is it like a drama?
So Kevin Hart plays a comedian whose life and career spiral out of control after a night on the town with his brother, who's played by Wesley Snipes. Because I like both of them, so I do want to watch that. Wesley Snipes is kind of making a comeback. Also, I was wondering if you were going to watch The Get Back, because that comes out tomorrow. It's the 3-part documentary on Disney+.
Yeah, I'll
about
have
the Beatles.
To, but like I was saying earlier off the air, I'm so out on Paul McCartney is so on my you-know-what nerve that it's like it's really affected my enjoyment of the Beatles. It's like that bad.
Yeah, this just looks really good.
I agree.
I can't wait to watch it.
I've been looking forward to it. It's only in like the last couple of months that Paul hired a publicist and is like everywhere on my newsfeed.
I wonder if something bad's going to come out about him in it and he's trying to get ahead of it.
Oh, maybe. That's a good point.
Because I just Googled it.
It didn't look that flattering.
The first headline you see is from like a critic. Get Back may change the way you think about the demise of the Beatles.
Mm.
It's always fallen at the feet of John and Yoko. Yeah. I wonder if this...
Maybe it's Paul.
Maybe.
Well, the articles I've been reading lately that aren't by Paul's publicist are exactly that. It's and who knows, maybe someone else is pushing back, but it's a whole lot of, like, I just read one today about how everyone in the band hated Obla-Di Obla-Da, and you know that beginning, like, yeah. ding-da-da-ding-da-da-ding-ding-ding. Mm-hmm. What happened was John was so pissed at Paul and hated this song so much that he came in, he sat down, he goes, okay, let's play this stupid song, ding-da-da-ding-da-da-ding-ding-ding, and that became the song.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's a great story.
And then another one was... John wanted I'm the Walrus to be their Christmas A-side release, and Paul evidently just had more juice than him, and he pushed for Hello Goodbye, and John hated that song and called it one of Paul's like old-timey stupid 1930s crap. So, like
Paul was the villain, hmm?
Depends on who you ask. I think he was definitely the controlling one. I think John was a jerk. He was a jerk, but I think Paul was probably the more conniving, like, this is my band guy.
I do kind of find it surprising that him and Ringo are obviously the two surviving ones, and you rarely see them doing anything together.
Yeah.
Which
kind
of goes into it more.
Yeah. You got trash?
Sure. Ed Sullivan, they're making a movie about him. It's based on a book. It's a biopic called Midas Man, and... Are you ready for who's going to play him?
Oh, boy.
I'm scared.
Jay Leno. Please.
What?
I know.
Okay, when you first said that, I'm being negative Nancy today, and I bit my tongue almost literally like, no one cares about Ed Sullivan, who's not going to be dead in 10 years. Like, what a stupid movie to make, but then Jay Leno.
I know. I'm so
Is he an
upset.
Actor? I mean, has he ever acted in anything?
He's made cameos. Go ahead.
He's in that terrible Last Man Standing Tim Allen show.
Mm-hmm.
That's like his big acting role.
He's on that.
Oh,
he's
so
been
he's
in
up to the task.
Laverne and Shirley. Yeah, he's been on Alice. He made cameos on Wayne's World 2, Dave, and Wag the Dog.
All right, well, let's see how it goes. Probably going to be better than the puppy dog movie or whatever it was, Dave.
Yeah.
Power Pets.
They've been shooting that since October, so it's well underway. Okay, this is, I thought, very interesting about how much people make on Dancing with the Stars. Because, you know, you have your pro dancers, and then you have the celebrities, mm-hmm. quote-unquote celebrities.
Yeah, I've always wondered about this.
Are athletes. So to be on Dancing with the Stars, it gets you about... $295,000. So you earn $125,000 for your first 2 weeks, and that includes the training period, which could last up to a couple weeks prior to the first show. So then each week that they remain in the competition, they earn a little bit more, obviously, but about $300,000. Now, if you're one of the pro dancers, they make about $1,200 an episode. And would only make about $100,000 a season. This is their profession.
Yeah, that's kind of wild.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I mean, $100,000 is good, but when it's broken down like that and the celebrities are getting paid so much, I guess they are the whole reason people watch, though. Like, every year you can get someone new to watch because, you know, I love her and she's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. I watch everything she does, so I'm going to tune in.
Talking about
Kendrick and Moore.
I love that Sean Spicer.
Oh, my gosh. And what was the other? Rick?
Spicer.
No, who was the other politician who was on there?
Oh. Santorum?
No.
It wasn't Rick Perry, was it?
It was the guy. Oh, my God. I got him
in
my head.
He was on it, I think.
If anybody knows.
On it?
Yes,
so.
It was him. I'm sorry. I missed that. Yeah. It was like a 3-second delay in my
who
brain.
Texas guy, the one that took too much Xanax when he was on the presidential debates against Trump. Good-looking guy. Lots of hair.
Now he's like he was like the energy secretary for a little while.
I could see his face in my head, but that's not what his name was in my head.
Yeah. And I'm really kind of surprised at how many athletes go on that show too.
I'd love if the name in her head was like Topo Gigio. Like she just has like a really strange name for
gotta,
Rick.
Gotta know what Rick Perry's name was.
Oh, that's Spuds McKenzie. No.
Do you guys care about the Thanksgiving Day parade at all, Macy's?
I don't care about parades at all.
Okay, great.
But I mean, I'm willing to listen.
Yeah, tell us.
Tell me how much. Tell me how much they make.
It's a 2.5-mile route, 3-hour broadcast, 15 giant helium balloons, 28 floats. These are just the stats. 240 gallons of paint they use. Each and every balloon and float in the parade is hand-painted by members of their studio team. 200 pounds of confetti they use. 300 pounds of glitter. And 4,500 volunteers.
Are people going to be there this year?
Yeah, they're going to have people. And obviously, it's going to be on TV tomorrow if anybody wants to watch.
Am I the odd man out? You guys like parades?
No.
No. I mean, I used to really like watching when I was a little kid. And then one year, I slept through it and I never came back.
You're like, oh, I don't have to watch this.
Yeah.
My wife's
like
really
much
into
more
them.
In person.
She likes to watch the parade. Then she watches the, you know, the dog show after that.
The dog show.
Oh, yeah, I like the dog show.
And I'm asleep through the whole thing.
What dog show is this?
The Westminster dog
show. Oh, that's Thanksgiving? I didn't know
that.
Yeah,
it usually takes place like basically right after the parade, I think.
Mm.
How do they determine best in show? Just like, hey, this is the best dog.
The cutest. No, they like, it's so...
Well, I know how they judge it, but I'm just saying it seems awfully like arbitrary. Just like, you're the best one.
Yeah. And it gets
We've
arbitrary.
Decided you're the best.
I get like by breed, by going like, ah, this is the best. By our qualifications, this is the best terrier or whatever. But then when it's like the terriers and the labs and the little fat ones, it's like, how do you just pick like, yeah, I like that one best.
Here's a Thanksgiving story we're going to throw in the mix. It's ripping on men. I'm just warning you. A new poll found that guys still not doing a lot on Thanksgiving to help out.
I saw that.
25% of men will not cook at all compared to 11% of women. And women are twice as likely to say they'll do most or all of the cooking.
Okay. Let's say, let's say, Trish, that you're at your big family function and someone brings a new guy along and he's in the kitchen with the ladies and he's hands on and he's trying to cook. Are you thinking, oh my God, what a catch? Are you like, get the hell out of here? What's wrong with you?
No, we'd probably be like, what is that in the kitchen helping? I'm telling you, when I was growing up, because my dad had five brothers or six and one sister who took care of all of them. We'd all go over there. The men would all sit down and eat first and the women would have to wait. This is in my lifetime when I was a child. We would have to wait till they were done, and then we all sat down and ate Thanksgiving.
I've seen that.
So to see a man in the kitchen, we'd probably pass out from shock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.